Okay, so I wanted to just go through, hopefully quickly, 15, 20 minutes. Got send that over time. Just a couple quick tips, eitzas, advice on nidos. I'll start off with an interesting story. Several years back, 4 or 5 years ago, I invited Rav Dayer Torres to speak to my shir. And he spoke about a beat of controlling oneself. He spoke about when you talk in a soft voice, a soft tone voice, you're more likely, you're more inclined to be able to have like full control over yourself. Once you start screaming, it's like easy to like move into the hot-headed world. I walked over and said, Rebbe, I agree. He spoke about Rav Nevensal, he spoke about Rav Neuber, and then they're very quiet. I said, Rav Salavechik, your grandfather, was loud and he would an entertainer, he would speak passionately. He goes, yeah, I was focusing on a different neither. But a matter of fact, there's no two different things for different people. And I guess number one is maybe like different strokes for different folks. I'll share with you a beautiful part. The Gemara Masechta Sukkah talks about each of the Amoraim, many Amoraim, Tanaim, Amoraim, and what they used to do. And each one did something different. One of them was the first guy to the base medrash every day. No one ever beat him. And another one never walked out in Amos without learning Torah. Some of the actually Amoraim had both of these qualities. Fine. I had a Rebbe in high school who asked, like, what? Do you want me never to walk Dalet Amos without learning Torah? All the time, even if you're the first one there, how are you supposed to do that? And he pointed out something very insightful. And I'm going to say it in my language. The goal of having a role model is not to be like him, it's to learn from him to be a better you. We already have a him. Don't mimic him. Learn from him and inculcate that into your own religious personality and become better you. Number one. Number two, smile. Smile. Smile at people. Make jokes. Tell a joke. Be funny. Laugh at people's jokes. Laughing at other people's jokes is a tremendous kiyum of the Haftalecha Kimocha. When everyone tells a joke, smile, laugh, and support them. The Salvation explained the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah that says, when Hashem is with Sachek B'Leviyasan, he played with the Leviathan. What's Leviathan? I don't know. But whatever they are, God played with them. It's an animal, some type of creature. And Salvation used to point out from that Gemara. Wrong pipe. Sorry. That there's a kiyum of a halachta b'drachav to laugh at people, to joke around, to be cheerful and fun and joyous and friendly. Number three. A lot of times after a fight, we spend time, a lot of time, trying to come up with reasons to justify our behavior. I get into a fight with you and I start thinking. I spend an incredible amount of energy, time, effort, thinking of ways to re-explain, here's what I was thinking, here's what I wasn't thinking, here's what you did wrong. Even if those thoughts weren't really going on in my head at the time of the fight. After a fight, one should spend their time trying to figure out how to make peace, how to make up, and how to avoid fights in the future, opposed to reinforcing the fact that they were right and everyone else was wrong. Number four, be willing to be forgiving. Don't be grungy. Don't hold a grudge. Don't be stubborn. Sometimes you have these family members, you know, who like got into a fight 40 years ago and the two brothers still won't talk to each other. Why? I will not. I was wronged and I'm standing on principle. Is that principle more important than the relationship with your brother? Is that principle more important than another principle, which is Achdus and Shalom and Reyes and Mechila? It's legitimate to say, I think you wronged me. I was hurt. But let's move on. My feelings were hurt, but I want to move forward. This, you know, and if you're not yet ready to talk, it's okay to communicate. I'm not yet ready to talk. I deal with my children all the time. Like, your kids walking around, they're with body language, you know, like, you can tell, you know, angry and upset. And I'll say to this kid, whatever the kid's name is, you seem upset. You want to talk about it? And I would say, you don't have to talk about it now, but you can say something like, I'm not ready to talk about it. Let's talk later. That's a respectful way of communicating. You don't want to talk right now. You have the right not to want to talk. That's legitimate. It's not good nidos to show attitude and body language and etc. Next. 5. Eizehu Ashir HaSomeach B'chelko. It's so easy to become competitive and not be Misameach B'chelko. It's almost natural. It may be the easiest way to mark your growth and your success is by being in some better than somebody else's, but it's also the worst way. The best way to mark your growth and your success is, are you better than you were yesterday? Are you comfortable with who you're growing into? Sometimes, are you happy with your achievements? And not, I'm better than somebody else's. And when I was younger, I used to look around the world saying, okay, I'm smarter than you, you're smarter than me, but I'm better in basketball than you. You're smarter, I'm better in basketball, but I'm better looking. You're smarter, but I'm better in basketball, but I'm frummer. Like, I couldn't move on unless I found something that made me better than everyone. It came from a place of insecurity. It came from a place of not comfortable, not with my own self-worth. Something you got to work on. The more you succeed, the more I should be happy for you. I want to also succeed, but my success shouldn't depend upon your failure. Rav Tam, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, used to say this extends to learning as well. Someone else is learning at a lower level, not learning at the same level. You shouldn't be happy you beat them. You shouldn't be jealous if someone's learning better. Your finances, your materialism, your level of popularity, your talent in sports, your ability to learn. People are most competitive in areas that they find important. You should be Samech Bechelko in those areas. Number 6. You should not be jealous of anyone. Be Misamech Bechelko in your learning. You should be happy with what you're doing and what you've accomplished and what you've achieved. Someone's better than you. Baruch Hashem, I'm glad he's doing his best. And I'm glad I'm doing my best. Shouldn't hurt you that someone else is seemingly doing better because they're working on their scale and you're working on your scale. Supposedly, the story goes back to the Kutzka, but I heard it in the name of Rav Amital. I'm not sure exactly how far back it goes. The story's a great story anyway. A chassid comes to a rebbe and says, Rebbe, my cow is not, it's not milking properly. Rebbe says, did you change your diet? No. Rebbe thinks a little more. Did you start working her extra this week? No. Rebbe says, let me think, I'll get back to you. The chassid says, Rebbe, thank you so much. The chassid walks out. And the Meshama says to the Rebbe, what do you know about cows? You know nothing. This guy's a farmer. Why is he asking you? And the Rebbe says, you know, I'll tell you why. This guy's looking for a kesher with the Rebbe, and all he knows how to talk about is cows. So I spoke to him about cows. It's true about Rebbeim and Rebbes in general, but it's true about everyone. And we're all Rebbes on some level. It's a great question to ask yourself, why did you come tell me that? You told me a joke because you wanted me to laugh, make you feel good about yourself. You came up with that great idea, you wanted credit. Let me give you credit. Why did you come to me and how can I justify, how can I make you feel better about coming to me? It's like a powerful kiyama, v'haptulech hakimocha. You came over because you were lonely. Let me just put my arm around your shoulder and let you know I'm there for you. You came over because you failed your test and you felt bad. I know what it's like to fail. I fail too sometimes. Like if we ask ourselves, why did that person come over to me? What do they want from me? It just makes it so much easier to offer them what they're looking for.
Number seven. The Katzke Rebbe points out, as well does the Tzur Hamur, if I'm not mistaken, that the word Yehudim, or called Yehudim, because it comes from the Shorash of being Moder, Hodah, like Akar Satov. That's one of the most important midos. Don't be afraid to say thank you. Don't be afraid to text back thank you. Sometimes people are afraid to appreciate others because it makes them feel insecure in themselves. Well, if I thank him, it kind of lets him know that I could have done it on my own. If you couldn't do it on your own, not saying thank you just makes you unappreciative and a liar, but no more capable. You're equally incapable. Now you're unappreciative and you're lying to yourself about it. Have you gained much? Thank yous are free. Very simple to say thank you. And to really appreciate someone, like in a sincere way, you know, I really just wanted to say thank you. It means so much. Why not? Number seven. Go out of your way to be polite. Pride yourself as being polite. By the way, however you pride yourself is what you grow into. If you see yourself as a good davener, you become a good davener. If you see yourself as a top learner, you become a top learner. If you see yourself as a good basketball player, it actually makes you a better ball player. You work subconsciously work hard for things that you identify with. However you identify, that's what you grow into. Identify yourself as a Bal Nidos. Identify yourself as someone who compliments others. Develop a self-identity of I'm there for others. I care about others. I'm sensitive or caring or positive or friendly towards others. Compliment others. Well done. You look great. Everyone likes credit. Don't be afraid to give other people credit. Quick round of questions. We'll move on to number nine. One, two, one. Not I'm already good. I pride myself as sensitive, so I'm going to continue acting sensitively towards others. Or better yet, I pride myself as a good davener. I want to continue growing. The more you see yourself as a good davener, a kind friend, a serious learner, the more you grow into that person. Our subtle self-identities help navigate us into who we are. Yeah.
Kind of keep lying to yourself, like if you're missing shockers all the time, you identify as a good dominer.
No, I wouldn't lie to myself. If anything, I would say myself a little bit better than I am, or something like, I'm a good dominer, I value davening, I'm just on a bad streak right now, I'm in a slump. I see myself as a good davener, but frankly, this morning was not good. I got to get myself back on track because that's who I am. You shouldn't lie to yourself. If you're not a good davener, say, I'm not yet a good davener, but I'm working towards becoming a better davener, and I identify as someone working towards that. Don't be disingenuous. And the Gemara Maseches Megillah on Yud Ches says, if speech is worth one coin, then listening is worth two. That's why you have two ears and only one mouth. The Gemara Maseches Yoma further says that if a person has a worry or stress, and if I in hay, or a daga, share it with others. And the counterpoint to that is, if someone has a daga, be there to listen. Become a listener. There's a value in listening. Partially because you learn more, partially because someone else feels heard. If you struggle listening, it means you think too much about yourself and not enough about others. It means what you have to say is more important than theirs. I'm a Rebbe in Yeshiva Kotel, and once a year we bring in a professional to help us do our jobs better. And this particular professional said, I want to work on the skill of listening. And I interviewed another Rebbe of the Yeshiva, And my only job was not to say anything and pull Morth out of him by questioning. How does that make you feel? Why do you feel that way? What do you think about that? My only goal was to listen, not offer any advice, not solve his problems, just listen. Now, that shouldn't be your only tool, but it should be somewhere in your toolbox. And you should be able to look sometimes and ask, does this person need advice or does they just need to vent? How can I serve as an ear for that person? And frankly, the more you learn how to listen, the more you learn how to hear yourself. I'm not suggesting you shouldn't also talk. You should identify, what does this person need? Sometimes you need to vent and only you listen. That's it. Sometimes they vent and need a suggestion. Sometimes they just want a suggestion right now. You should be conscious of the different types of conversations and try your best to be supportive for what the person needs. Sometimes you can ask them, I have a suggestion, but I want to make sure you fully have the opportunity to express yourself. Do you want to hear my suggestion just yet, or do you want to finish getting it off your chest? And sometimes my wife says, I'm looking for the suggestion. And a lot of times she says, let me finish sharing my thoughts, and I want to hear it soon. And that's exactly what I do, if I'm good. I got two more, 10 and 11. 10, respect others. When I was a little boy, my father gave myself and my sister a very, very funny punishment. The punishment was I had to treat her like the Gadol HaDor, and she had to treat me like the Gadol HaDor. When I walked into the room, she had to stand up. And I'd say, would my sister like a glass of water? I spoke to him in the third person. That was that punishment. Good shtick. No fun. Funny. Good punishment. But it taught me to realize how much more room there was in my respecting of her. What would my sister like to watch on TV? I want her show to take priority. Like, I never would have said that. And I didn't do it all the time from then on out. But the fact that it entered my head on some level was on some level success. Lastly, the midah of curiosity and self-control. And they go hand in hand. If you have no intellectual curiosity, you're missing something. The Sfarno points out that Moshe Rabbeinu saw the burning bush, the snare, and it wasn't being consumed. He was so curious. There's a value in wanting to understand the Rabbeinu Shlolem's world, wanting to understand his Torah, intellectual curiosity. But curiosity killed the cat and it did a lot of damage to people I know as well. Many people who started smoking cigarettes or drugs started because they thought, I'm curious, I wonder what it would be like. I'm curious, what will that look like? And you find yourself with Shmiras Einayim issues. I'm curious, will that be said, shown, heard, whatever. A lot of times you have to have self-control over curiosity. Just because you're curious and it may be enlightening doesn't mean that's a good thing. There are certain things that you'll see that you now know more about the world, but you'll have regressed spiritually 5 steps. Don't be afraid to be curious, but don't be afraid not to be. True to my word, I want to make sure we stop under 20 minutes. I'll answer a bunch of questions afterwards, but officially, Rabosai, we're done. Have a wonderful night. If anyone wants to leave, feel free to leave. Questions? What?
How would you say you built something like
that? The first thing, the way you build any mita is you recognize the responsibility to build it. You recognize that it's missing and you want to improve it. The first way to build any mita is to say, I have to work on my self-control. You cannot solve a problem you don't recognize. Then, when you're conflicted with situations, you try your best to be strong about them. I know right now I should put my phone down and go to sleep. I'm not going to wake up for Minyan tomorrow. And I know myself, I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to say one more show because YouTube has 25 Yetzirahs on the bottom right of my screen. I know myself, and I'm not as much as well-controlled. I know that if I don't put my phone down, I can watch 8 more hours. And therefore, I'm going to put it down and leave it and go to sleep, because otherwise I'm not going to, you know what I'm saying? The easy thing is, well, I'll just watch 2 more seconds. One more, one more, one more, one more. It's easy to have 25 last one more. That's a question of navigating where you want to be, where you want to express more and less self-control.
I have a possible answer to
you. You should control yourself with one more ration. You should also control yourself in the opposite direction with one more YouTube clip.
I think if you practice on the little things, eventually the big things will follow. So about maybe even eating. If you say, I'm only going to eat this, and you control that, then eventually it's going to build up.
It sounds like a good strategy. For some people it works, and for some people it's torture. I had a Rebbe used to watch my Soloveitchik, and he would say, my Soloveitchik, I have one spoonful of ice cream every day to teach himself self-discipline. Not easy. Not easy to do. Frankly, I wouldn't want to do it. Either I don't value self-discipline enough, or I gain it some other way. I don't know.
Do you have time for one question?
Yeah.
How do you, what are the steps that start valuing other people more than yourself?
I don't know if it should be a competition, and I don't know if you can. If you look in Shulchan Aruch for half the Lech HaKamach, it doesn't mean not value them more than you. It just means don't do to them things that you wouldn't done to yourself. You should learn how to love people and care about them. Even the word Kamocha in the Pasuk sounds like the roof is where you are. It's very difficult to love people more than yourself. Your best shot would be your wife and kids. I value my children's success more than my own. But I don't value yours. I hope you don't mind me being honest. I'm a man of honesty. I don't know if that's a good thing. I should value it the same. I was once talking to, again, Mary Reverend Mayor Tversky about his brother who was murdered. And he said to me, he goes, you know, he murdered a terrorist then. Tversky's brother, Moshe Tversky. He said, you know, anytime a Jew has ever killed, you should feel equally bad. It's just a lot easier with your brother. It's also okay to be normal. It's okay to tell the truth. If your midos aren't perfect on every level, better you should be honest about them than pretend they are and lie about it. I know a lot of people who pretend to have perfect midos, and they're not open to the fact that there's all sorts of flaws along the way. They work so hard on not getting angry that when they get angry, they pretend they didn't, because their person doesn't get angry. Have a good night.
Sorry, why did you close?